Thanks, Mark. And I would like to start by thanking the organizers for putting so much thought and work into this wonderful meeting. I'm also, of course, grateful for giving me a chance to talk about my work. I'm very sorry to make you sit through a Zoom talk. I would very much like to be there with you, but hopefully next time. I will talk about an ongoing work with Kellen Herring, who is a student in Lausanne, graduating next summer and doing really excellent work. One thing which I should start right away, that my talk will naturally connect to this beautiful talk by Grant yesterday. Some of you might have heard about dual models, but maybe the angle will be slightly different. So one of the characteristic features of string scattering is Ragy behavior at high energies. So if it takes even weakly coupled strings at tree level, and we send the energy to infinity while keeping the exchange momentum fixed, the string amplitudes famously Ragyize. So we get this power S to the J of T, where J of T is what is called leading Ragy trajectory. And this leading Ragy trajectory is, in a way, it's a function of one variable. It's a bit a simpler object, but it is sensitive to the physical nature of the of your string. And in particular, well, this is probably the most famous plot in strings, which is that if you look at this J of T as a function of momentum, there are roughly two regions when T is positive and T is negative. And they describe very different physics. For example, you can have color strings in the large N Young-Mills theory, or you can have fundamental strings. For positive T, the Ragy trajectory is linear, and it reflects that we have this high spinning macroscopic strings of arbitrarily large spin in the theory. And this regime is universal. On the other hand, if you go to T negative, which is actually a physical scattering regime, the Ragy trajectories can look very different, and this reflects a different UV nature of your string, whether it's pure Young-Mills, it's supposed to flatten, where famously in string theories just go straight all the way to infinity. And this is this famous softness of strings. And for my talk, I will have in mind always this straight line, and I hope you can also keep it in your mind. The interesting thing here is that if you go to negative T, the amplitude becomes arbitrarily small because you put S to some large negative power. Now, one thing that strings are good for is to UV complete gravity. And in particular, there is a simple scenario, which is still, I would say, rather poorly understood, which is that imagine that I take 4D Einstein gravity, say coupled to standard model, and we would like to UV complete it at tree level. So we imagine adding a set of high derivative corrections, which are denoted here by beta. So this is so-called Wilson coefficients. And by tree level UV completion, I mean that all these betas, they do not scale with M Planck. They are suppressed by some new scale, which is in string theory. And recently, there have been a lot of work towards understanding that, in fact, if you have such a UV completion, causality requires you to have massive higher spin particles. And of course, this is what strings are. They are theories of massive higher spin particles. And in fact, we do not know of other good models of this type. And using the basic principles of causality, unitarity, and crossing, you can derive sharp bounds on this Wilson coefficients. And basically, this is what dimensional analysis will tell you. It's order one coefficients suppressed by the mass of higher spin particles. And this was reviewed by Leonardo Rastelli at Strings last year and was discussed by Simone and Sebastian this year. And let me remind you, if it was not clear, that if you have this action, you can just go compute the scattering amplitude, which I showed you before, and then you get the low energy expansion. So you can, for me, I will talk either about Wilson coefficients or these coefficients AKJ, which is just low energy expansion of the amplitude. So now the basic question we would like to explore is the following. So what happens to these bounds, which we derive from very basic principles, if we put in the additional information about the leading register trajectory? And this is interesting because this leading register trajectory and the straight, so it goes to arbitrarily negative infinity. How does the UV softness constrain the AR? This is not a directly Wilsonian question, and it's, I don't think we have a good understanding. And the tree level here is an interesting toy model, but I believe the same UV softness, of course, is play important role in full gravitational amplitudes. Now, as some of you might have heard, as David Gross last emphasized, that in fact, if we want to improve in what have been already done, we should go multi-particle. And I'm very sympathetic with this point of view, especially if you tried to think about multi-particle non-perturbative scattering amplitudes. This is very hard, but at tree level, it seems like we have a better chance. But for today's talk, I will follow another suggestion by David, which is don't follow your elders. And so I will just consider scattering amplitude, and we can discuss multi-particle later. So here is the plan. I will tell you the basic tool, which is the regisum rules. And then I will consider the scattering of open strings, make a few comments about high energy fixed angle scattering, and then closed strings. And so regisum rules, we would like to use the shape of this leading regisum trajectory. Well, it's very simple. You consider the complex S plane, the energy plane, that's a mirror morphic amplitude. So there are poles due to exchange particles. So you just draw this contour. And because the amplitude is analytic, and if the integrand is analytic, and if you take the integrand to be the amplitude times, say, a simple polynomial, you get zero. Very simple. Now, you can play a couple of games with this. And let me introduce the first one, which is called regisum rules. This is something very simple. You take this contour and you deform the arc to infinity. And as you deform the arc to infinity, you want to evaluate the integral along the arc, you just get S to the J of T, which is the regular behavior, plus a prefactor S to the N. Well, and if you take J of T to be less than something, this arc vanishes. And so then you can drop it and you get the sum rule that the integral over the discontinuity of the amplitude times the power of S of N is equal to zero. And this is expression of the softness of scattering. And this is what we call sum rules. There is a second thing which was considered also since a long time ago, and it's called finite energy sum rules. It's a different game. It's more for positive T. And instead of softness of scattering, it expresses the fact that you have high spin particles in the spectrum. And in fact, you can also use it to impose that there is no accumulation point in the spectrum, something which was recently discussed, but I will not go much into that. So, and now you can ask, well, let's just take this regisum rules and add them to recurrent methods. Let me just present you a cartoon. So if you go into the trenches, how this bounce was derived, the basic idea is that you have a positivity, which is a positivity of residue, so discontinuity of your amplitude. And then you try to massage this positivity into various ways to show that certain things are impossible. So it's a linear problem and you can efficiently use it. Now, the basic thing why you cannot just add regisum rules is that if you look at them that take this form, minus one to the J, C of J, where J is the spin of exchange particles. So they're highly oscillating. So if your game is to, and also they're growing with spin. And so if you're trying to cook up something positive, this is not a very helpful thing to have. And this might be a technical problem, and maybe some of you already know how to solve it, but I believe it hasn't been done yet. And so to avoid the dealing with this difficulty, well, let's play a simpler game where instead of ruling out theories and showing that certain things are impossible, these are what these bounds are, we just simply construct the amplitudes with desired properties. So that's a game we would like to play. And And the way we will do that is we simply consider an ansatz for this amplitude, which here I make contact with Grand Stock. And this ansatz is such that the amplitude is neuromorphic. It's so you have only poles. It's crossing symmetric. It has polynomial residues. So the slightly non-trivial thing is that since we are interested in the softness, we make this amplitude such that it satisfies this Regis sum rules and this finite energy sum rules. And to simplify our life, and then we can discuss this assumption, we take all the particles to have integer mass square. So this is what we will do. And then the game that we will play is that we will need to impose unitarity, namely the positivity of these residues, and this will be done numerically on the computer. And then we will see that there will be surprises. So let me discuss the first thing, open strings. So the ansatz here takes the following form. It's just a sum of this gamma, gamma over gamma with various shifts. The shifts are judiciously chosen so that the desired properties are all satisfied. All the terms are linearly independent. For positive T, you satisfy finite energy sum rules. For negative T, it's not automatic, but it's easy to check this Regis sum rules. And then the constraints on this coefficients BIK, which parameterize your ansatz, come from positivity of residues. That's what you can then we will be doing. And something which is slightly technical and non-trivial is that this ansatz is supposed to be complete. So this is a neat argument, which we can discuss later. So at least in the spaces of equidistant spectra, this should be it. Even though, of course, it's not that easy because the sum over I go from zero all the way to infinity. So now let me just make three comments, and which are the following. Comment number one is that if you want to have an easy life and truncate yourself in this sum to have a finite number of terms, you will get an amplitude that satisfies the Regis sum rules and it violates unitarity, unless it is Veneziano. So you have to deal with infinite sum. Then you can have situations, and this is what Grant reviewed yesterday, where you have infinitely many terms, and then you satisfy unitarity, but you violate the Regis sum rules. In other words, if you look at this amplitude, it has this term S to the T, which becomes arbitrarily soft, but then you have these terms 1 over S, which just are there. And so then you can ask, okay, well, is it possible to find an amplitude which is both soft and satisfy unitarity? And to our surprise, we found that, okay, it's not that hard. And you can construct an amplitude, which is, say, here, three parametric amplitude, which has both properties. So it is soft, and then it is also unitary. And here it's given by this Wolschmidt integral where we add the deformation which depends on these three parameters. So let's see where does it get us. There are a few curious things about it. Well, first you can explore unitarity of this object. So it's three parameters, and you find a finite range of C naught, C1, and lambda. So here different colors correspond to different lambdas. And there are special points, and in fact, these points were considered in the past. There is a paper by Matsuda who looked at that point. He didn't know that it's unitary. Well, we checked that it is. There was the C1 equals zero case was considered by Mandelstam. He also didn't know that it's unitary, and it is. And okay, this point is just Veneziano. Finally, let me make a comment that numerically we observe that unitarity implies that this parameter C1 is non-negative, and I will later comment how we can see it analytically. So now we go to the bounds on Wilson coefficients, and there was this paper by Albert and Rostelli last year where they considered dimension 6 operators for scattering of massless pions, and they got this region allowed by unitarity causality in crossing. And now we see that with this simple amplitudes, we can feel already some rather big part of it. So the blue region is the region which we explicitly filled with amplitudes which are arbitrarily soft, so they satisfy Regis sum rules and unitarity. And therefore, whatever method you develop, you cannot do better than that. And therefore, we see that this softness, at least in this context, will not lead to some sharp reduction or improvement of this bound. And the second interesting point is that if you look at the if you also, in addition to this Regis-Sum rule, impose that when you consider high energy fixed angle scattering, that the amplitude is as soft as Veneziano, you get this much smaller red region, which is kind of interesting. And since I haven't told you about this fixed angle, so let me move to that part, high energy fixed angle. So instead of taking S to infinity while T fixed, we now keep the ratios over T fixed. And if you look at this explicit amplitudes that we found, and you look at them at S and T positive, this corresponds to the semi-classical limit, we find that it takes the following form. Here, the first line is a just result in Veneziano, for the Veneziano case, and the second line depends on this C1 and lambda. And the interesting thing is that in this regime, the amplitude is known to be controlled by the zeros of positive sum of Legendre polynomials, as was discussed in this paper. And so if you take this expression and you connect it to that paper, which says that the amplitude in this regime should be expressible as this positive density of zeros, then you find that, well, if you look at Veneziano, you can check that the density of zeros is just a constant and is what it is. But if you try to deform, depending on the sign of C1, you get that this density becomes either positive or negative. And here you go, by imposing the positivity of this raw, you pick correctly this C1 sign. So that's how we get it analytically, if you wish. Now, an interesting comment is that in that paper, when we were analyzing the semi-classical regime, there was an important point where we used the fact that the amplitude is given by a positive sum of Legendre polynomials, it's correctly radiized, to argue that the zeros must be localized between, say, 0 and minus 1. And here we explicitly see that it's actually not necessary. And in this example, zeros can spill arbitrarily far. So therefore, this assumption has to be revisited. Maybe a better bootstrap target for this regime, or a simpler one, so this is something we discussed with Miguel Correa, who is there at Strings, is that the amplitude in this semi-classical regime is not uniquely fixed by Veneziano, but it's less or equal than Veneziano. And in fact, if you make some assumption about zeros being real and supported along the negative axis, this is what happens here, then you can show it. So you can prove it, and it becomes a nice problem in 2D electrostatics. And you just can see that Veneziano amplitude saturates it. So this is a little bit interesting, because it's if we have a bound on the amplitude, so for this S and T being large and positive, it's scattering at complex angles. If you have a bound on an amplitude in this regime, you might wonder, what does it tell about high energy scattering at fixed real angles? And there is this a nice connection which says that basically the analyticity of the amplitude implies that the radial limit is bounded by the product of fixed angle scattering for real and complex angles. And you can read on Wikipedia in Hadamard's three circle theorem how to get this. And it was, you can use it, you can rewrite this inequality to bound the fixed real angle scattering from below. And this is this famous Serlus-Martin bound, which has been discussed also in this year in the context of various theories. But basically, you can use this bound on Veneziano from above for complex angle to derive some kind of stringy Serlus-Martin bound that the amplitude cannot decay faster than e to the minus s, which is different from the original bound, and it's more natural for tree-level amplitudes. So let me now move to closed strings. And here we consider scattering for MHV amplitude, say for gravitons, and we can play the same game. So we take an ansatz, which is a regional Virasoro-Shapiro amplitude, and we add to it this shifted gamma functions. Then we can impose crossing and the regi limit. This fixes for you the allowed values of alpha, which are consistent with that. And one famous difference between the open and closed string scattering is that in the regi limit, if you fix the mass spectrum to be integers, you get here this factor of 2. So the regi trajectory has this extra factor of 2, which is related to that you have a folded string. And again, unitarity has to be checked in this case. And simple observation that you can have very quickly is that in this case, so remember for open string, it was not the case. So we had to do something more complicated, but here the truncated ansatz, if you truncate this in this n max, so you just have a finite number of terms, is consistent with unitarity. So it automatically satisfies crossing, finite energy sum rules, and regi sum rules. And therefore you can explore it. And you can find the number of independent parameters, and then you can start exploring bounds and Wilson coefficients numerically. Basically you truncate it, you find the bounds and Wilson coefficients, and then you extrapolate it in max. This is something that was done already successfully for a few years by starting from this paper by Pedro Vieira and collaborators, but for full non-perturbative scattering. But here we're doing the same thing for stringy amplitudes. And so let's look at the low energy expansion of the gravitational amplitude. The first term is a Einstein term. The second term is a correction due to R cube. Then if you have a massless scalar exchange, you can have this term. You can also have this Wilson coefficients. And let's try to bound the first correction of three-point coupling. And there is a simple causality argument, which depends on some IR cutoff, which gives you a parametric bound. And more recently, you can start from a rigorous bound in ADS and take a flat space limit. And then instead of IR cutoff, you get this RADS. So as your IR cutoff, but now we can play the game. We just take the ansatz, and we impose, if you wish, causality, and in addition, regi sum rules, and we increase n max. So for each n max, we have a fixed ansatz. We derive a bound. It converged. We switch the next, and so on. And then what we find curiously is that the maximal value is consistent with grow as a log n max, which is consistent with the fact that we will just lose the bound in four dimensions. And this would be an interesting interpretation of this IR divergences purely at the level of tree-level amplitudes. In principle, you can forget all that. Of course, we cannot make it very rigorous, because if you have 20 points, which you can fit with a log, well, surely you will be able to fit it with something which converges. So this is something that is still, if you wish, open. And another check is that if you take these extremal solutions and you look at them in D larger than 4, they are non-unitary, which is consistent with the fact that in D larger than 4, you do not have IR divergences and the bound should converge. But this is, again, something we're still looking at. Finally, you can look at some Wilson coefficients. So again, you consider MHV scattering of gravitons, and then you can construct dimensionless ratios of Wilson coefficients. These are for dimension 10 operators. So then you get this purple shape. Then there was a nice refinement of that, which pointed out that if you include, if you wish, an extra dimension, if you have some extra knowledge about an other Wilson coefficient, even if it's parametric, if it's very crude, the bound drastically shrinks in some cases, and this is a very interesting observation. But now we can also take this these bounds just put in this regi sum rules, and we land in this black region of allowed values. So here I have an explanation of a pancake effect, but let me leave it for discussion and zoom in on this plot. So basically, that's the same plot in red. You have the same red triangle, which is a bound if you take this extra constraint. Then the gray region is what we get by extrapolating nmax all the way to infinity. So this is a region which you can cover with amplitude which satisfy Regius sum rules. So whatever your method is, you cannot do better than that. And of course, all the known theories leave the string theories live inside this region. So let me conclude. So the question we wanted to investigate is, how does the UA softness constrains the R physics? And there are several observations. So the first one is that the Veneziano amplitude admits unitary deformations with linear regular trajectory, which importantly is soft in the UV. So softness in the UV is not something that will select the Veneziano amplitude itself. Second, we found that if you look at the high energy fixed angle scattering, the behavior of such amplitudes is not unique. And this was surprising compared to what we knew before, because it holds for both real and complex angles. Finally, we probed allowed regions on Wilson coefficients for amplitudes that's arbitrarily soft. And we observed that they got smaller compared to rigorous bounds, but they have some finite size, which puts some prior, if you wish, on how well we will be able to do in the future. And finally, let me emphasize that these results are in no way complete. We assume this equidistant spectrum. We assume tree level. We assume straight regular trajectory. But I think all these things can be relaxed. And I hope this this serves as a playground for future studies of the weakly coupled high spin particles, which can UV complete Einstein gravity in four dimensions. So let me just put some future directions. And thank you very much for listening.
Yeah, so you mentioned the fixed angle, high energy scattering, and you had some bound. How does that compare to the gross results?
Yeah, the bound is weaker. So the bound, the gross Mender result satisfies the bound. So here you take the maximum. So you take the absolute value of the amplitude, and you take it in some range of angles, and the statement that if you have a tree level amplitude, it cannot behave e to the minus s times some number. And if you plot it against gross Mender, you see that gross Mender satisfies this bound. So gross Mender is larger than that. This can mean two things. Either the bound is not optimal, which I will not be surprised, or that you have amplitudes which are softer than gross Mender. But this will be surprising, of course, because this is a very tuned situation already. So yeah, it is consistent, and it is, if you wish, it's weaker. Yeah.
Hi, Sasha. Very nice talk. So can you go back to the slide where you compare the density distribution with what you have in your previous paper with Amit and Zohar and Sima? So, or actually the next slide, please, yeah. So this is a theorem, or it's a new conjecture for the universal behavior?
This is a theorem with a weaker assumption, but it is not a theorem for the amplitude. So let me just reiterate here, the assumption was that the zeros are within this unit circle, and we see that this is definitely not necessary by what we want. But here we say, okay, let's now make a weaker assumption that the zeros are along the real axis, and then it is a theorem. But it leaves this open question of, well, maybe they are not along the real axis, And therefore, I think that the target would be, even within this ansatz that I showed you in this talk, just prove this as a bootstrap bound. So yeah, that's, I think, and this maybe will remove this this dangerous business of trying to understand the support of the distribution of zeros, which haunted us back then.
So just to make sure, so the very last statement, Venetiana behavior is extremal, that would be the conjecture, right?
Because this is the theorem, if you assume that the zeros are on the real line, and for general amplitude, this is a conjecture. Yeah. That's
right. Okay, well, let's thank Sasha one more time.
Thank you.